the question that really prompted it this year was a question somebody asked me on a pasuk in Beshalach. Beshalach Yud Dalad, pasuk Yud. It says, pasuk says, Ufaro Hikriv, when the Jews were leaving Mitzrayim, so it says, Ufaro Hikriv, Vayisu v'nei Yisrael seineihem v'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareihem. And the Jews raised their eyes and they saw the Egyptians were running after them, chasing after them. Vayiru ma'od, Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el ad Hashem. Okay, now Rashi says an interesting thing. Nosei achareihem. So Rashi says, B'lev echad kishechvod, okay. He says, Dover acher, v'nei Mitzrayim nosei achareihem. Ro'u sar shel Mitzrayim. Nosei min ha-shamayim lazo le-mitzrayim. So they saw the sar of the Mitzrayim. The sar, the malach of Mitzrayim. That was Nosea min Hashemayim to their assistance. This sar. So somebody asked me, they said, what is this sar? what kind of a thing is the sar? So that I can't say that I can explain what a sar is in the terms of the in the terms of people that generally ask the question, but I would say that the Chazal, there is an idea behind the Chazal, an idea behind the Sar. And perhaps if we look into the Psukim, perhaps we'll be able to discover what exactly the idea that Chazal are trying to convey to us about this Sar is. Okay? More question that I would ask. Another question I'm going to ask is seemingly unrelated to it. The other question is like this, that when we daven every morning, so you start off with the brachos of the Hashkama, the brachos of Hashkama, you have the Birchos HaTorah, and then you have the Parashias, and then you have the other brachos, depending on which sheet you follow, which one you say first or second. That's the first thing you do. Then, after that, you go to Baruch Shama. Baruch Shama Tol Yishtabach. Now, essentially, what is Baruch Shama Tol Yishtabach? What is the essence of Baruch Shama? Where does it come from, Baruch Shama Tol Yishtabach? As the Gemara says, that a person that says Tillim every day should be praised. Now Yehelki Gemara Shabbos Yehelki Migomrei Tillim B'chol Yom. Say Tillim every day. Okay, so that's Psukei Dezimra. Psukei Dezimra is Tillim, and the Tillim you make a Bracha Lefanel or Bracha Lacharel. Bracha Lefanel is Baruch Shama, and the Bracha Lacharel is Yishtabach. Okay, so you're supposed to say Tillim every day. So we say from Ashrei until the end of the Sefer. Ashrei through the Halukas. The essence, of course, is Ashrei, but if a person's in a rush, he could just say Baruch Shoma Ashrei. If he, for instance, comes in, he has to make Tfilas, so he could say Baruch Shoma Ashrei and Yishtabach. That's the minimum. But L'chatchila is supposed to say everything, at least all the Halukas. Okay? But there's something else we say besides, which is the Oz Yashir. The Oz Yashir. Okay? Now the Rambam talks about it. The Rambam says like this. He says, Yesh Makomos Shenogubayim Likvos B'chol Yom Acha Shemavorchin Yishtabach Shiras Hayom. There are some places where the minig was to say Oz Yashir. The Rambam's time, not everybody did it like today. Some people did it. V'acha Kach Mavorchin Al Shema. Okay. So really the Rambam mentions the minig. Then he mentions the minig to say Azinu, and some said Shiras Hayom and Azinu. We don't say Azinu anymore, but Shiras Hayom we say. There's only one difference between the way we say Shiras Hayom and between the way the Rambam says Shiras Hayom. What is the difference? What's the difference? The difference is, according to the Rambam, when did they say Oz Yashir? Only after Yishtabach. But we say Oz Yashir before Yishtabach. The Rambam would hold that the way we say it is not proper. Why is it not proper? So Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav one time mentioned, he says, because in Yishtabach he says, V'shirei Dovid Avdecha. V'shirei Dovid Avdecha. Now, V'alcha Hashem Olekenu, Okay, so the Rav mentioned that that's why the Rambam held, the Rambam's the minig that the Rambam mentions is to say Bedavka after Yishtabach. Why? Because if you say it before Yishtabach, you're placing Oz Yashir within the framework of the brachos of Baruch Shem on one side, Yishtabach on the other, and that's supposed to be only of Shirei David Avdecha. And as Yashir is not Shirei David. As Yashir is Shirei Sayam. So that's why as Yashir, according to the Rambam, was after Yishtabach. But our minig is not that way. Our minig is that we have it before Yishtabach. So the question I wanted to understand was, what is the justification for our minig? After all, I mean, it's an old minig, and even though it's not like the Rambam, but there must be justification. And b'chlal, we have to try to understand, even according to the Rambam, what is the connection? What was kind of a minig was this to say Shira Sayyam? Even according to the Rambam, who needs Shira Sayyam now? This is not the seventh day Pesach. So why should we say Shira Sayyam? What's the purpose of saying Shira Sayyam at that moment? It doesn't seem to have any sheiches. The Gemara says the reason why we say Ashrei in the Halukos is Gomrei Tila B'chol Yom, but Shira Sayyam doesn't say anything about saying Shira Sayyam every day. So what is the basis of the whole minute? Okay, that's the other question. Right. Now let's go back to the Chumash. Go back to the Chumash. We find in the beginning of Perek Yudalet. What happened like this? Actually, beginning of B'Shalach, so the Om left Mitzrayim, Le'Yisu, and the Ve'yachnu B'Sukos, then Le'Yisu B'Sukos, Ve'yachnu Ve'esam B'Ktzei HaMidbar. But Hashem Ho'ch Lefneim Yomom Ba'man Onu L'Chosim HaDerech, V'Layla Ba'man Reish Lo'yolem, L'Lechas Yom V'Layla. Okay. So that was the Yitzias Mitzrayim. They were leaving Mitzrayim. Now all of a sudden you have in Perek Yudalet like this. Adabar Hashem Amar Shlomo. Adabar B'nei Yisrael v'yashuvu v'yachnu l'fnei piyachiros. Bein migdol l'vein hayom l'fnei baal tzvon nicho sachnu al hayom. What was the tzivui? What was the tzivui in this pasuk? If you take a look at the pasuk and you find it's a very funny kind of a situation. It says v'yashuvu v'yachnu l'fnei piyachiros. So Rashi says v'yashuvu l'achoreihem l'tzad Mitzrayim. So the Jews went out of Mitzrayim. They were going away from from the Mitzrayim, right? They were going away, and then they were going towards Derech Eretz Plishtim, roundabout way towards the south, the east. And then what happened was that all of a sudden they received another command. Moshe Rabbeinu received another command. What was the command? The Yeshuvu Yachluf Nepiachiros. Go back in the opposite direction. Letzad Mitzrayim. Instead of going away, they should go back towards Mitzrayim. All right, it's funny kind of a tzivui. Letzad Mitzrayim ayam akarvin kol yom ashlishi. So 2 days they ran away and they were away from the Mitzrayim towards Eretz Yisrael through the Derech, the land that through the Derech Plishtim. I mean, yeah, not through Derech Plishtim. I mean, Plishtim was by the Yom, so they didn't want to go by the Yom. The Yom would have been the shortest way. The shortest route would have been through by the Yom. But instead of going that way because of the Mohammed, so they went down a roundabout where they'd have to go across the Yamsuf. Okay? Now, so what happened? So now the third day they returned, they started to go back towards the Egyptians. Right? Why? What was the purpose of this? So Rashi says, Kidei Lahatos is power. She Yomar Tom Him Baderach. Moshinema Vamar Palav Neyasol Nevuchamein Baris. So the purpose was to confuse the Egyptians. Why? Because the Mitzrim would see that these people, first they went away, now they're coming back, so they're totally confused. And the pasuk says, So that was the plan, and that's what happened. Nevuchadnezzar Baruch, they said, and then they and they and they um, And the Mitzrim won out after the Bnei Yisrael. Okay, now it's interesting. Take a look. So this was the plan. This was the plan. Now, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says that the Jews, when it came to implementing this plan, how did they react when it came to implementing this plan? First, they were going away from the Mitzrim. Then they had to go back towards the Mitzrim. So how did they react? It says, Vayasuchein. Okay? The Pasuk says, Vayasuchein. Take a look at Rashi. Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet. Vayasuchein. Take a look at Rashi. Lahagit Shvachon, to show the praise of the Jews, Sheshomo Lekol Moshe. They listened to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo Amru Heyach Niskar V'alrot Feino. Onutzrichim Levroach. They didn't say, how can we go back towards the Egyptians? We have to run away. This is crazy. They're enemies. They'll destroy us. They didn't say that. Ela Amru. They said, Ein Lonu Ela Divrei Ben Amram. We only listen to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't listen to anybody else. And he said to go back towards Mitzrayim. We're going back towards Mitzrayim. You see? But that's Vayasuchein. Vayasuchein. Then he complained. Okay? Alright? What does it say? Pasuke. Vayigal amagul sanki varachom. Okay? Vayefech vavach vavalorom. Vayigal mazos asinu. Vayesos richbo. Okay? Vesama vachachimo. He took them all with him. He convinced them to go with him. He's a very astute fellow, Paro. And he told them there's a new deal this time. We all share everything together. And I'm not going to take more than anybody else. And he knew how to get them, rally them up emotionally, and he got them to go. Okay. So then it says, then it says, they're from Mitzrayim Acharein, and they ran after them. First, they finally reached them. Okay. Kolsus rechav par farshav echel apichas of Nebal Tzvon. Ufaro hikriv. Then, Vayisuv Nei Yisrael say Nei, Vayisuv Nei Mitzrayim Nasehlef Nasei Acharein. Then the Jews saw that the Egyptians are really running after them. They're about to attack them. Then Vayir Moshe Yitzchak Bnei Yisrael Lad Hashem. Then it was Vayomer Moshe Amibli and Kvarim Mitzrayim LaKachton Lomos Bamidbar Mazos Asisal and Kesedim Mitzrayim. Then he complained at first. First they said Ein Lono Adiver Ben Amram. They're very happy. He said. Then later, when the Egyptians started to run after them, then they changed their mind. They became frightened, and then they said, "I'm the Blei Kavam Mitzrayim." So this, you see, when it mentions the Tsar, when it mentions that this Tsar, see, Rashi and Chazal introduced the idea that what were they afraid of? Vayiru Ma'od, Vayitzku Yisro El Ad Hashem. So when Rashi says that the name Mitzrayim Nasei Achareihem, so they saw the Tsar Tzvar Shal Mitzrayim. Why did Chazal introduce that idea of Tsar Shal Mitzrayim? It doesn't say in the Pasuk anything about Tsar Shal Mitzrayim. So why did Chazal introduce it? Chazal, one who learns Chazal knows that Chazal don't try to add an extra word, even in their own statements. Certainly not the Torah. The Torah doesn't mention a word about the Tsar, so why do they mention it? Now do you see what the answer? Why do they mention it? But the point is, the reason why there had to be introduced the idea of Tsar Shal Mitzrayim is because you have a contradiction. You have a contradiction. Why? Because at first he told them, he said to them, he says, V'yashuv v'yachmuf ne'piachiros. Go back towards Mitzrayim. What's the purpose? And the Pasuk says the purpose. V'ama palav ne'yasol nevuchem ein ba'aretz. So he told the Jews, we're going to go back now towards Mitzrayim because we're going to make them think that we are confused, and they're going to start coming after us, and then the kovdav afar v'chol chelov, the other sanctity of Hashem. That was the plan, right? So it's a very funny situation when you have a case that you have a plan, and then when they carry out the plan, suddenly they become frightened. Doesn't make any sense. This was the plan originally. He told the Jews that now we're going to, Moshe told Klal Yisrael that now we're going to go back. And then why? Why is he going to go back to the plan? In order to, the Mitzvah should think that they're confused. Then they're supposed to chase after them. And then the Kovdav Far V'Chochela to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Okay? So that was the plan. So what went wrong? They implemented the plan and suddenly, Mibli Yank Farim Mitzrayim. Doesn't make any sense. whatever it is, Chazal apparently felt that there's something missing. Some explanation is necessary. The fact that they were happy to do the plan and the fact that later they retracted requires an explanation. So Chazal gave as an explanation, Sar Tzvo'o, Sar Shel Mitzrayim. That was their answer. The answer was like this. The plan they made up was very good, very good plan. The only thing is that they never took into consideration one thing, the Sar Shel Mitzrayim. And the only reason they became frightened was because they saw Vinei Mitzrayim Nosei Achareyem. They saw the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, Noseim and Hashemayim, Lazo Lemitzrayim. Once they saw that, then it was a different story. Then they said, just a second, I'm a blank from Mitzrayim, look, I've done almost my midbar. You see? Say that they were just so immature that they made the plan, then they came there frightened like babies. This doesn't make any sense. You see? Doesn't make any sense. So Chazal would bother the question. They had the plan. What changed? What changed? So the answer is, Sar Shel Mitzrayim. That's why Sar Shel Mitzrayim was introduced. That's the purpose. Okay? To answer that question. What was the solution that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Klal Yisrael? Oh. There's an interesting Ibn Ezra. But first, before the Ibn Ezra, you see, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? Moshe Rabbeinu's answer was, "Ve'yel Moshe Alam Al Tiro." Yisyatzvu Uru Sishua Sar Hashem Ashiyasal Hamayom. You see, Yisyatzvu, you stay where you're at. Ru'u Sishua Sar Hashem. Don't do anything. Hashem Yilochem Lachem V'yatam Tacharishem. You be quiet and just watch Yisua Sar Hashem. What does it indicate? The fact that he gave that answer indicated that they really weren't even capable of fighting. They weren't capable. That's it. They weren't able to. That was the only thing they could do. And that's why that was a good solution. That's why when he told them, they quieted them down. Because if they would have to go and fight, even if they'd have to do anything, get involved physically in a battle, they would not be able to do it. So it was simply Yisyatzvu. That's it. So they just went through the Yamsuf, Kriyas Yamsuf, and the Mitzrayim were destroyed. Okay. Now, there's an interesting Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says like this. Ibn Ezra says, Yesh l'tmua. Eich yorei machane gedola shel sheish meos elef ish me'erot macharen. Such a tremendous amount of people, 600,000 people. How could they be so afraid of the ones that are pursuing them? V'lama lo yilachamu al nafsham v'abeneim. Why didn't they go to battle to save their lives and their children? He says, Atshuva, the answer is, because the Egyptians were masters over the Jews. And this generation that went out of Egypt had learned from early youth to subordinate themselves and to tolerate the Ol Mitzrayim. And they were emotionally, their souls were very on a very low level. Very low level. Okay. Ve'eich yuchal ato lilochim madonav. How could they possibly now fight with their masters? Vo'y Yisrael nirdofim, ve'na malumdim l'mochoma. And you see, they didn't know how to do battle altogether. You see that if it wasn't by Amalek, if it wasn't for Tfilas Moshe, so then they wouldn't be able to... they wouldn't be able to do battle with Amalek either. Oh. Now, what I want to say is like this. Now, what's the pshat in the Ibn Ezra? Pshat in the Ibn Ezra is that there is within man, there is a certain, man has a nature that he attaches emotionally a certain value and a certain esteem to certain people. That's his nature. And basically that's a very powerful force, a very powerful force in man. I'll give you an example. What was the case of Goliath HaPlishti, what was the whole incident with Goliath HaPlishti? The incident with Goliath HaPlishti was, it's in Shmuel Aleph Yizayin. Vayetze isha beinayim mimachanos plishtim. Goliath Shmuel migos. Govo sheish amos vazoros. And what did he say? And he says, Lama seitzel arach mochoma. He says, Alon achia plishti. Latim of Adam Rishon says, take one man and see how you can do battle with me, the one Plishti. So the Plishti is Vayan Plishti, and Eniche Rafti Es Machos Yisrael Hayom, Tenu Li Yish V'ni Lochem O'Yachad. So everybody was, when they heard about the Plishti, so it says, Vayishma Shol V'chol Yisrael Zdira Plishti Ela Vayechatu Vayirum Od. They became very frightened. Why did they become frightened? There's only one man. But the answer is that man represented, portrayed, projected a certain image, a certain aura. And that was a powerful aura. The aura stood for all the Plishtim. That's why if somebody would be able to destroy him, that would be the end of the whole all the Plishtim, even though they're more numerous, more powerful together than him. But it doesn't matter. He represented an image, an aura. And that's why the Jews were frightened at that time. But then when Dovid HaMelech came into the picture, so Dovid HaMelech, you see, approached him, and he approached him in a way that he wasn't impressed with the Plishti. Now, what was David HaMelech's, when David HaMelech actually went against the Plishti, so his courage didn't come from another image. See, generally speaking, how are people courageous? Because they have a counter image. They build up their own image. They psych themselves up, so to speak, you see. But by David HaMelech, it wasn't that way. By David HaMelech, it was a different thing. It's interesting, when David HaMelech went against the Plishti, so what he said was, he told Shaul that how he was successful when he fought against the Ari and against the Dov. And then he said, when he went out, he said, Hashem, Asher, Tzilani, Miyad, Ari, Miyad, Dov, Hu Yetzilani, Miyad, Plishti, Yazer. Okay? But the incident of Dovid HaMelech was an incident later. The first incident was not an incident with Dovid HaMelech, really. The first incident was an incident with Klal Yisrael, by the Yom. What was the situation? The situation was like this. Klal Yisrael was a nation that was subdued, subordinated. They were subordinated to the Egyptians. Now, in being subordinated to the Egyptians, they had no personal esteem, no personal courage. Not only did they have personal courage, but they had a tremendous respect and an awe of the Egyptians, of the power of the Egyptians. Egyptians were their masters, were their rulers, like the Ibn Ezra says. Now, the question like this. The question is, how would you build up the courage of such a people? So, logically, a person would say, or a psychologist would say, the way to build up the courage of such people is to tell them that they're great and to build up their ego so that they also have an ego. And this way they'll be able to overcome their pursuers, their aggressors. That's what a psychologist would say. Yadis has a different approach, totally different approach. What was the approach of Yadis? The approach of Yadis was not really to try to build up the image, the self-image of the Jews. But it was a totally different maneuver. The different maneuver was to show the Jews that there is no such thing as an image. There is no such thing as an image. You see? An image is just pure imagination. It doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as an image. The only thing is, everything depends upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything depends upon God. And the most powerful individual can, through God's will, through God's Chochmah, can be distorted and turned over in 2 seconds, simply completely destroyed. So the concept of raising the esteem of Klal Yisrael, the derech, the method of Yadis, was a completely different approach. Not to raise the self-image. On the contrary, to remove oneself totally from the concept of images altogether. And to recognize that the idea of image is a false one. You see. Now, what happened was like this. Originally, when Moshe Rabbeinu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, so it was a rational move. To leave a place where you're tortured and you're slaves, it's rational to leave. You see. So they left. And then when he told them to go back, so they went Eimon or Diri Ba'ama. They followed Moshe Rabbeinu because it made sense. What Moshe Rabbeinu did was he moved the rational part of their nature. And they were in a state of pain, so therefore they followed. But what happened was like this. The other part of their mind was not yet prepared, was not yet ready. The moment Mitzrayim started to come after them, and they saw their masters, so what happened was that part of their nature that it has that awe, you see, for that recognizes a certain power, recognizes greatness, and recognizes heroes. That part of the person, that part of their nature, suddenly they saw Mitzrayim as the great powerful force that they were, the great powerful nation. And because that was the Tsar. That was the Tsar of the Mitzrayim. The Tsar of the Mitzrayim that was working for the Mitzrayim was really the aura and the whole majesty of the powerful nation. Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world at that time. When they saw that, Vayiru b'nei Yisrael, Yitzko b'nei Yisrael olikim, so they simply were unable to face it. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said like this. He said, you don't have to go to battle, because you can't go to battle. And you can't go to battle for the simple reason that right now your psyche, your mind, is not in the proper state. Because all your emotion that attaches itself to imagery attaches itself to the power of the Egyptians, to the power of the Mitzrayim. But what I want you to do is just stay where you're at. Hashem yilochem lachem v'atem tacharishon. Now, what happened? So what happened was that they didn't do it. They just followed Moshe Rabbeinu's plan. And of course, what happened was that the Egyptians were all thrown into the sea, thrown into the Yam Suf. And they said the Shira. But what is the essence of the Shira? What does the Shira mean, really? What is the essence of the Shira? Oz Yosher Moshe v'nei Yisrael v'shira z'osla Hashem. What did they say? Ashira la Hashem ki go'o go'o sus v'roch l'olam v'yom. So what does it mean? Take a look. First of all, what is the essence of the Shira is, by the way, is that possible? Because, how do you know it's the essence of the Shira? Because you see by Miriam. It says, Atam la Miriam. Shira la Hashem ki go'o go'o sus v'roch l'olam v'yom. Right? But take a look at the... at Unkelus. Unkelus says, "B'chein Shabach Moshe of Nei Yisrael Yas Tushbachto Hoda Kon Mar Hashem V'amor L'Meima Nishabach V'Nodei Kodem Mar Hashem." Let us praise God. Areis Go'ei Al Gave Sonayo, because he was higher than those who are mighty, than those who are high. V'Geusa Dileihu, and this Geus, this high esteem, this majesty, this haughtiness, delay. The haughtiness belongs to him. You see. So what was the essence of the Shira? The essence of the Shira was that instead of they themselves building up their own image, which would be what a psychologist would advise, the Torah had a different plan. The plan was to recognize that this emotion, this powerful emotion that you attach to people, that you project onto people, you project it onto Mitzrayim, powerful nation. This emotion, it's a good emotion. There's only one thing wrong with it. It's misplaced. Where does it belong? It belongs only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where that emotion has to be directed. So basically, that's Kigeus Dileihu. Really, we say Haderes V'Amuna. It's Haderes V'Amuna. L'chai olomim, ha-geus, ha-gai, ha-gdula, the whole, that's really the whole essence of the Haderes V'Amuna. The whole essence of the Haderes V'Amuna means all those emotions which people partake of themselves, or which they project onto others, you see, only belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was the Shira. That's the essence of Shira. So what is Shira really? Shira is when a person takes the emotion that are misplaced because Because the emotions are related to man, and he takes those emotions and he recognizes that with man those emotions are nonsensical. Sus v'roch v'roma v'yom. So Rashi says later, on kol sus rechav paro, Rashi says, why does it say sus, one horse? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the whole army like kesus echad, like one horse. It was like as easy as throwing over one horse. All the thousands of horsemen and soldiers that they had were just thrown over like one. What does that indicate? What does that mean? It means kol sus rechav paro. It shows you that whole image, the power and the might of this tremendous army running after the Jews, this aura that they created was simply in one moment was completely converted, was nullified as nothing. So that's the Oz Yashir Moshe. That's the concept of Shira. The idea of Shira is Geus Dileu. That's what it means. That emotion belongs only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an interesting thing. You see that the Shira is written, Shira is the only part of the Torah that's written in a flowery language. It's written different in a different language. It's written like Yochazemo Ro'ad. It's written in Lashon Shira, different to the Emo, the Sito Emo, Ba'anach Losko. It's written with a certain poetic type of beauty to it. And the same thing with all the Shiras are written that way. Why is that so? Because Shira is not just a matter of enunciating ideas. Shira is a direction of the emotions towards the proper source. You see, towards the proper source. Now you see that Klal Yisrael really learnt very well the lesson of Moshe. It's Yatzur Ruas Yeshua Sod Hashem. They learnt that lesson because they were able to, even though they still had the psychological weakness. And the Ibn Ezra is right. They had a psychological weakness, and really, eventually, it caused them a problem with the Meraglim. That emotion came out again in the time of the Meraglim. Because what was the whole chait of the Meraglim was fear. It was fear, basically. But it's interesting. What happened at the end of this? At the end of the parsha. End of the parsha when Amalek came out after Klal Yisrael. So what happened when Amalek came out after Klal Yisrael? So it says one of the most unbelievable parshas. It says, "Vayas Yashir Kashem Moshe Amachor Olor Rosh Givah V'Hoya Kashay Yor Moshe Yadav V'Gavar Yisrael V'Kashay Yamiach Yadav V'Gavar Amalek." What kind of a thing is this? He raised his hands, and the Jews were winning, and then he lowered his hands, and the Amalekim were winning. Doesn't make any sense. So the Mishnah says, "V'Chi Yadav Shel Moshe Osos Mochama." So the Gemara says, "No." B'Shor Asher Klal Yisrael Meshab Demes Libam Lavim Shevashamayim. So then they would be successful. What does it mean? It means they had to remember the Shira. They had to remember there's no such thing as a powerful force. It doesn't exist. The only one that the emotions of power and force should be related to is God. Nobody else. So when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu was Omei B'Tfilah, and they saw him, they saw visibly that he was Omei B'Tfilah because his hands were raised. You see, Tirgum Unkelus even says. Tirgum Unkelus says, Vayhi Yodav Amunu Ad Bo HaShemesh. So it says, Vahava Yadoi Prishon Bitzlo Ad Ol Shimsho. Tirgum Unkelus is the plain shot in the pasuk. It's not any medrash. He says his hands were spread out in tefillah. So when they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the idea became fixed in their mind. And they were able to direct their emotions to the proper, and the proper, arrange their emotions properly, so they were able to do battle with Amalek and destroy them. Now, yes. When Moshe Rabbeinu took them out of Mitzrayim, the idea was good. The idea, rationally, was very good. But you have to realize one thing, that a person can rationally understand an idea. It doesn't necessarily mean that his emotions are going to go along with it right away. So it's a whole process that a person has to undergo before his emotions go along with an idea. Just because he learns the idea doesn't necessarily mean his emotions go along. So even though they knew the idea, you see, but emotionally, they couldn't direct their emotions there. When were they able to make the change? When they saw. That's what Moshe said. It's Yatzvu Ruas Yeshua Sod Hashem. Once they saw what happened at Yamsuf, then it changed them emotionally. And then in Amalek, they were able to do battle. Now, I'd like to say like this. What is the concept of... Yeah. Right. just in Perkov. Rashi, yeah. When they the Meshuch Muhammad, when the Meshuch Muhammad, a man brings a raya from the case of Meshuch Muhammad. You look at the Lashonis in the Pasuk, Al Tiru, Al Taratu, Al Tachbazu, Nehem, Kedashim, Al Kechem, Hu Anilcham Lacham. That's the same idea. That's right. Heimbar Rashi says, Heimbar Benitzchal, Tabatvadam, and we go there. Yeah. It's the same thing, exact same thing. That's what I want to tell you. It's the exact same thing that Dovid HaMelech said. That Dovid HaMelech said. Exact same thing. When Dovid HaMelech saw Goliath, so everybody saw Goliath, Ve'echate. What does Ve'echate mean? The image of the man, a powerful giant. So they were broken, you see. But Dovid HaMelech wasn't broken. That's why it says that what he did was, he approached it logically, and what he said was, he didn't say that, he didn't counter it with his own psychological strength. But he said, on the contrary. So finally, after David convinced Shaul, says, "Vayomer David, Hashem asher hitzilani miyad hari miyad adov, hu yatzilani miyad haplishti hazeh." It wasn't based upon his own ego. On the contrary, it was based upon the fact, even when he was successful, he knew this all depends upon God. There's no such thing as an image. And when he approached the plishti, he said the exact same thing. He says, when the plishti saw David, he said, "Akelavanochi geto by lai b'maklos laikala plishti as David belohov vayim plishti el David lachoy lai ve'etnos besorcha la'uf hashemayim l'vem asasoda." That was the talk of the image. You see, the big, powerful giant. Vayim David ala plishti ato boy lai becherv v'chanisu v'chidon v'anochi boy lecho b'shem ar Hashem tzvakos olakei marcho yisrael l'shecherafta. That's the answer. That's the same answer as Oz Yashar. Same answer as Oz Yashar. Now, I'd like to take up another thing. The Gemara says that we say Tillim every day. We praise a person that says Tillim every day. Why is it important to say Tillim every day? What's saying Tillim every day? Nice to say Tillim. Okay, well, what is the idea? What's the answer? What is really Sefer Tillim? What is Sefer Tillim? The Gemara says that Dovid HaMelech asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he used to say Tillim at nighttime. That his Tillim at nighttime should count as much as Talmud Torah. So it's an interesting. Dovid HaMelech asked God that his saying his Tillim at nighttime, he used to say Tillim at nighttime, should be just as good as Talmud Torah. The Gemara doesn't say what God answered, but that's what he held. So the question, of course, is if we learn Tillim, it's halacha of Talmud Torah. But that's very simple. Why is it if we learn Tillim, it's halacha of Talmud Torah, but for Dovid HaMelech wasn't? The answer is because when we learn Tillim, we're learning ideas. We don't know the psukim. We don't understand the ideas. Dovid HaMelech knew these ideas already. He was just saying them over again. Why was he repeating the ideas? The answer is the purpose of Tillim is one thing. What's the purpose of Tillim? To take a person's emotions and place them in the right perspective. That's the purpose of Tehillim. That's the objective of no other Sefer has that objective. Only Tehillim has that objective. You see? And you see, there's a minig in Klal Yisrael to this very day that there's such a thing, you say, a yid that's a Tehillim Zagah, says Tehillim. Say Tehillim. There are people that say Tehillim. It's an old minig. It goes all the way back. You see, by a mace, say Tehillim. There's a lot of times that you say Tehillim. What is the purpose of saying there is such a minig? You can't deny there's such a minig. And some people frown on it. They think it's not an intellectual kind of thing, but it's not true. There's a purpose. If there's a minig there, it comes from the source. It's not just somebody didn't just make this up. It's a minig. And you don't say Mishle. You're not supposed to say Mishle. No. Tell him. Kehelis? No. Tell him. Why tell him? The answer is because the essence of the Sefer Tillim is not just the ideas. The ideas certainly came of Talmud Torah. But the essence of Sefer Tillim really is to take a person's emotions and place them in the proper perspective. What is the proper perspective? Recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the proper perspective. See? That's why Chazal say that a person should be gomer Tillim b'chol yom. Every day a person needs that exercise. Every day a person gets up in the morning, his emotions are in the wrong place. He needs something to counteract that. Tillim. Even though you understand the psukim, say the psukim again. There's such a thing as just amiras tehillim. Now, if you'll take a look, it's interesting. If you take a look at the end of that incident with Dovid HaMelech, so it says that he says, and then he's like, "Hayom hazeh, don't know that. When he's talking to Goliath, Yisagercho Hashem biyodi v'kisicho v'asirosi es roshcho me'alecho v'nasati pega machne plishtam yom zelof v'shamayim l'chayes aretz v'yedu kol aretz ki yesh l'kim b'Yisrael. You see? And it says v'yedu kol akol hazeh ki lo b'cher u'v'chanis yoshiyat Hashem. Next thing, ki lo Hashem ha'molchomo v'nosan eschem biyodeinu. Ki lo basically the whole essence of the Shiras Hayom is Kilat Hashem Amolchama. Hashem Ish Molchama. By the way, Oziv Zimus Kova Hilu Lishua is that the expression? Oziv Zimus Kova Hilu Lishua is an expression of the previous, follows the previous statement. The previous statement is Gay is Delay. Oziv Zimus Kova Hilu Lishua. Hashem Ish Molchama Hashem Shemo. Mankras Parachali Oriyam Chashol Shuv Tabuli Yamsa. Thomas Chasim Yodin Sos Kuma Oven. Then you have like this. At the end of the Shira, after the Shira, what do we say? We say Kilat Hashem Hamalucha Moshe Bagoyim. It's a pasuk from Tillim. Kilat Hashem Hamalucha. What is it? What does it show you? Why do you say Kilat Hashem? Because the purpose, the whole concept, Kilat Hashem Hamalucha is a universal concept. Malchuscha Malchus Kol Olamim Meshalta B'Chol Davidah. The idea of Lad Hashem HaMalucha, what does it mean Lad Hashem HaMalucha, Lad Hashem HaMalucha, Kol Ha'aretz, Bayom Lad Hashem HaKadosh Malachot, Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu means one thing. It means recognition, the Yeda Kobosa V'Yichru, Kobosa V'Yichru Yipolu. What does it mean? It means that they will take the emotion that they place upon people, upon a Melech, Bos of Adam, and they'll recognize that idea of Malchus, that emotion doesn't belong there. Where does the emotion really belong? The emotion belongs Melech Malchei Amlochim. That's why Shiras Hayom is said every day also together with Tillim. What's the purpose of Tillim? The purpose of Tillim is to channel a person's emotions towards recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Recognition of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the whole Tillim. The whole Sefer Tillim is basically that. There's different situations, but the basic idea is that. That's why. Where did this come from? Where historically did this idea come from? Where was the source of this idea? The source of the idea historically was from Az Yashin, the Shiras Hayom. That's why our minig is to even place the Shiras Hayom together with the Shirei Dovid Avdecha. We hold it's not a stira. Why? Because it's the same idea. It's Shirei Dovid Avdecha, it's true. But where did Shirei Dovid Avdecha, where was the first point of Shirei Dovid Avdecha? It started from Az Yashin. So that's why we hold. The Rambam disagreed. The Rambam held halachically, it's not right, because Shirei Dovid Avdecha should be only the Shirei Dovid. Then you should place Az Yashir as important, but Az Yashir is the prototype of the Shirei David, but Az Yashir should be outside of Yishtabach. But we don't hold that way. We hold that since it's the same framework, so even inside Yishtabach is the appropriate place for Az Yashir. If Az Yashir is the prototype, so why don't we say it first? Why do we say Tillim? Ask you another question. If Az Yashir is really the prototype, did you ever hear anybody saying Az Yashir? Saying Tillim, yes. Tillim, you say. Yid says Tillim. Reads Tillim. Even to read Tillim, just to read Tillim, the way the minig was, the European Jews, every day they read Tillim, that's a kiyum. What is that kiyum? The kiyum is, in terms of the emotions, placing the emotions in the right perspective. But Oz Yashir is not a vehicle of that. See, Oz Yashir, Taurus Moshe, is not a vehicle of just saying it over there's only one sefer that has that function. The only sefer is Tillim. And that's why we say Tillim first, because the Tillim is, that's the function of the sefer. Then we go back, once we have gone through the process, now we're ready to understand the idea in Oz Yashir. The idea was given to us by Oz Yashir. But the process can only be done through sefer Tillim. That's the essence of sefer Tillim. You go a little bit further with that point that you mentioned. If you take a look at the next parasha is the parasha of the month. Okay? Now, what was the problem with the Mon? The problem was that they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they were complaining, and they said that again, Pravelonu mi tei misenu v'yad Hashem v'yaris Hashem b'shiftein al sirah bosa b'chlein alechem l'sova. Okay, so they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu about the fact that they don't have what to eat. They don't have any bosa and they don't have any lechem. Rashi says, the pasuk Vayomer Moshe, pasuk Ches, Tesayin Ches. Vayomer Moshe, b'seis ad Hashem lachem bo erev, boso lecho. V'lechem baboker l'spoa. So by boser, he says, b'seis l'eshem lechem boser l'echo. God will give you meat to eat. So Rashi is v'lo l'sova. So he says, why? L'midcha Torah d'archeret, she'en lechem boser l'sova. Okay. Umar ro l'horid lechem baboker or boser b'erev. How come he gave them meat at nighttime? Some say it went on for a long time. Meat at nighttime and the morning in the morning. So Rashi says, l'fisha lechem sh'olu kahogim. Lechem they ask properly. L'fisha yef sh'lo l'odem lo lechem. Person can't live without bread. So we had a right to ask for that. Av a boser sh'olu sh'lo kahogim. Why? Shehar be behemos hoyulayam. V'od sh'olu yef sh'lem b'lo boser. L'fichach noslam b'shas torach sh'lo kahogim. That's why God, he gave them what they asked for. They asked for lechem, they asked for boser. So God gave in to them. But lechem he gave them baboker. Nice in the morning is the right time to go out, and they took the man. It was very nice, but the baser, no baser bearer. If it's time to go to sleep, time to go, it is difficult to gather it. That was not given with the bracha. Why not? Because they had no right to. Why? Because they had many behemoths. He says, "Shabbat behemoths oilam." So what are they asking? What was their question? What were they asking? What were they complaining about? The achlenu v'shiftein al sira baser, the achlenu lechem masova. They had baser. What's the difference? So kill the animals. What was the complaint? They weren't used to basa. It says b'shdei. V'yom Hashem al Moshe. Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashemayim. V'yotza om v'loktu tvar yom b'yomo. Pasuk yit dalet. It's in Perek Tezayim, Pasuk dalet. Hineni mamtir lachem lechem min hashemayim. V'yotza om v'loktu tvar yom b'yomo. Alright? So that makes sense. Why? Because they don't have any food. So God is going to be mamtir lechem min hashemayim. So we'll have food. But take a look at the end of the pasuk. L'man anasenu hayelech b'sor rosiyim lo. What does that mean? L'man anasenu, in order that I should be able to test them to see if they follow my Torah. What does it mean? What does it mean? Hayelech b'sor rosiyim. Yishmeru mitzvos atluyos bo. If they'll keep the mitzvahs that are dependent upon the mon. Shelo yasiru mimenu v'lo yetzu b'shabbos lukot. So, all right. So, what does that mean? It's still not the essence. It's still not the pasuk. Still, shouldn't have said that v'loktid v'yom b'yom leman anasenu. Should have said, I'll give them v'yom leman yochlu leman yichyu, and then it's a side thing that he'll test them. No, leman anasenu. You know the reason why I'm giving them the man leman anasenu, because I want to test them. Ayelach b'sarosim lo. And the Torah continues to make a big issue out of this. Because Vayasiro Anashim Menad Boker, people left over, and then it Vayaram Tam Vayivash, it became spoiled. And the whole thing over here, you see that there's a very big concern about how they handled and how they took care, how they listened to the Mitzvah Hashem over here. What's the reason? You see, when the Jews complain, you'll notice in the Mon, it's like this, those who took too much didn't have any more. Okay? And then the people who try to save it, it is spoiled. So there was no gain. The only time that you could save it was Erev Shabbos. So the whole, what was the purpose? What was the purpose of this? Why was it that way? Why was it that way? Apparently it was that way for one reason. In order that the people should overcome their greed. Okay? Greed. But psychologically there are two types of greed. See? Greed is caused by two different states of mind. One type of greed is caused by a person's fantasies. Fantasy. A person, no matter how much he has, will never have enough because he has a fantasy of greatness that can never be satisfied. So the amount of wealth that he has is something which gives him a tremendous amount of self-esteem. And self-esteem, a person, a human being, can't get enough of, so he can't get enough of the wealth that gives him the self-esteem. That's one type of greed. That's one cause for greed. But there's another kind of greed. There's nothing to do with self-esteem, on the contrary. It comes from the opposite side. A person that is insecure. If a person is insecure, they can be very greedy. They're not hoardy people, but they're extremely greedy because they have to hoard away things because they're afraid that they're not going to make it. And this is also, they're not in reality. They're not reality, and no matter how much they have and how rationally they can realize that they have enough, but emotionally they feel a certain insecurity, and they keep on storing away and storing away more, maybe something's going to happen. Who knows? You know, they keep on putting away. And these people really, when you see these people, you usually laugh at them. You say they can't enjoy life. They keep on hoarding away money. But the reason is because it comes from an emotional insecurity, an insecurity. So greed can be caused by two opposite sides of the coin. On one hand, it can be caused by haughtiness. On the other hand, it could be caused by tremendous insecurity. Now, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, there was no danger of haughtiness because they were avodim. On the contrary, they were very low. They were shfalim. But what was the problem? The problem was the insecurity that stems from being so low. That's the problem that they had. They didn't have a problem of greed because of they're going to start fantasizing that the fantasy of immortality, see? To build empires. That wasn't their problem. The problem was to stay alive. So they had the other kind of, their greed was caused by the insecurity, you see. So what is the solution? So of course, one solution is the money. Why? Because they'll say, "Hinani mamti lechem lechem min hashamayim." You see that God gives you, and you'll notice even when He gave them, they still, even though they saw the miracle of the man, still they try to put away. They couldn't overcome the emotional desire. You see, and the lohed if hamarba is a marba. Some people try. They told them, "Ish lufiyachol, take what you need." No, they still try to take more. You see, so they couldn't overcome the emotion. But it's an interesting thing in the pasuk. The solution was not, you would think, what would the solution be? You'll see the money coming down, God's going to give you the money, then you're going to be secure, you'll see that God takes care of you, right? No. From the pasuk you see that's not so. Why? Because he said, God says like this, "Hinni mamti lechem lechem min hashamayim v'yatzam v'lokti v'ayam b'yam l'man anasenu hayelech b'sorasi imlo." What does that mean? I want to test them to see if they go according to my Torah. What does my Torah mean? The mitzvahs. Apparently, even if a person receives the mon, every day, it doesn't build up his relationship to God. You cannot have security, true security, based on the idea of Hashgachas Hashem, of God's Hashgacha, just by witnessing the fact that He gave you food. It doesn't mean anything. Emotionally, you think that's the most powerful force. The Torah doesn't consider it the most powerful force. What is the purpose? L'man anasenu hayelech b'sorasi imlo. When the mon was given, there were mitzvahs that were given with the mon. And how did the people? What is the way? What's the method that was given for the people to relate to God? Not through the mon. The mon, yeah, fine, but the mon alone wouldn't do the trick. What was the method? The mitzvahs. L'man anasenu hayelech b'sorasi imlo. They had to study the hilchos, all the halachas of the mon. And the mon incorporated a lot of lachas. Of course, a lot of lachas we don't know today because it's not Nagel Doros. But there were many mitzvahs. A lot of them we know. For instance, Chum Shabbos is a good part of the Masechtas Erevin. It's based upon Chum Shabbos. It's not easy to know Chum Shabbos. It's a complicated sugya. And not only that, but Shabbos itself, Ruki Hashem Nasan Lachemus Shabbos, the ideas of Shabbos were given at that time. And the special mitzvahs that were related to the mon itself, which we don't have anymore, but you can be sure that it was a halacha. It was just like any other halacha that we have. It was an intricate system. They had to study it. They had to learn it. So what did God give the Bnei Yisrael when He gave them the mon, really? He gave them a way of having security. The security should be from God. But how could a person feel secure in relationship to God? Just by seeing that God does a miracle? No, that's not the way. The way is through Talmud Torah. The way is only through Limud. Because only through learning does a person really have a relationship with God. Otherwise, it's not a relationship with God. It's some other thing. He'll see it, he won't see it. In spite of the fact that the mon came down and it was the greatest miracle, still you see that people took and they hoard it. They try to hoard it. That's not the way. Yadis does not believe that you could reach the God does not believe that you can reach Klal Yisrael simply through being mamte lechem lechem nashamayim. It's only leman and asenu hayelach b'sarasi imlo. If the relationship exists through Talmud Torah, through Limud, then Limud is the only way that it can relate to God. If it's, of course, it was important they should see the man, but the man has no meaning unless it's hayelach b'sarasi imlo. So that was really the purpose of the mon. So the mon was also in order to take care of the problem that they had, that they were in Egypt, And in Egypt, their self-esteem was low. That's why that answered the question. Why did they complain they wanted meat? They had meat. They had it, the Rashi says, they had tzon, they had bakar. The answer is, that was their own tzon and bakar. Their own tzon and bakar was not so good. You see? Zachana said, Shifteinu al sira basa bachleinu lechem lasova. It wasn't ours. We knew we had people that were giving to us every day. We knew it was there. Egypt, most powerful country. We didn't have to worry about anything. Over here, our own stuff. We're going to start taking our own stuff. It felt shaky and secure. He said. So that's why Hindi Manti Lachim Lachim and Shemayim. And you don't have to take your own stuff. The slav will come. But the only thing is that the only way that they could relate, that they could build up their amuna in terms of their betachin, was only through limud. Through limud and through the mon. Not through the simply through the mon itself. So you see, the entire parsha is tied to one concept. The concept of the fact that because they were avodim, and they're avodim, they're two things. An eved has low self-esteem, and tied with that is the fact that he is very insecure. He's very insecure because he's a dependent. He has low self-esteem, he respects others, and also he's an insecure individual. And the insecurity had to be solved through relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the mon, but not just through the sinas amon, through the limud, through mitzvos, through learning the halachas. That's the way a person gains security. Who is a person who has the greatest betachon? It's always the person who's the greatest talmid chacham. The greatest talmid chacham. That's the rule. Greatest talmid chacham has the greatest betachon. There's no shortcut for betachon. Betachon has to be talmid chacham. And the bigger the talmid chacham, the greater the betachon. And that's basically the same thing as we see in the parasha of the mon. That leman and asenu ayelach b'sarasi in law. If they keep the mitzvahs, they learn the mitzvahs, they're involved in Talmud Torah, then they can have bitachon b'Hashem because of the mon. But if they're not going to be involved in Talmud Torah, they're just going to see mon every day, it's not going to change anything. It's not going to make any difference. The beginning was the makis. The makis was the thing that moved them in the first place. But the culmination was Oz Yashiv. The culmination was Oz Yashiv. As I mentioned, he said, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu was in stock in Talmud Torah. It was after 3 days. Right? So it says, Muhammad Moshe, it's in the Kriyas Torah. The question is, why? Because he saw that less than 3 days after Yom Suf, and they're already, they're turning back. They're going back to their old ways. So he saw that even the Makos and Yamsa are very short-lived. The effects are very short-lived. So that's what Misak and Talmud Torah. Physically, a lion, the sound of a lion represents power, the greatest force. So that's what he said. I wasn't afraid of a lion. I grabbed the lion by the beard and I killed him. The Achazel was come out. He says he wasn't afraid. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Why did David HaMelech, why was he the one that wrote to him? Because David HaMelech was the one, more than any, that was his essence, was that he directed his emotions towards reality. That was the essence of David HaMelech. That's why I have so much in Tanakh about his personality. Nobody else, you don't have anybody else besides, I mean, that you have such a lengthy orations about David HaMelech. The Shmuel Al Shmuel Beis really goes into his whole personality. Why him? Because, and he's Mashiach Hashem. He represents the highest perfection, because his whole essence was that he was able to take all the emotions, human emotions, and direct them to the proper source. That was his godliness, and that's why he wrote Sefer Tehillim. That's why he was the one that wrote Sefer Tehillim. Nobody else. In fact, this why it mentions Sar Shel Mitzrayim. Why Chazal mentions Sar Shel Mitzrayim? Now, the Rambam mentions that Chazal always write their ideas in a very cryptic form, in the form of a mashal. That's what the Rambam mentions. And behind every statement of Chazal that looks a little strange is an idea. And that was the purpose of my shiur. I wanted to uncover what the idea might be with the Sar and Tzorah Shel Mitzrayim. Why Chazal write that way is for a simple reason. Because certain things that people who are on a level of uncovering something can use for their advantage, you see, and others who don't will have some kind of an idea that there's something there. That's why Chazal wrote that way. That was the purpose of the style. The Torah also writes in disguise, by the way. The Torah also writes that. But Chazal especially, because Chazal are purish on the Torah. So the Rambam explains that's the whole method of Medrash. The method of Medrash really is to write ideas in a certain way that when the idea was something which, if you'd spell it out to people who aren't intelligent, don't will follow, that's not going to make any sense. So they have nothing out of it. This way, a person is not a real chacham. He attaches something. There's something there. There's something in Mitzrayim impressed them, whatever it was. You see? And the Rambam maintains that the people were intelligent enough not to believe it's a crazy kind of a thing. So they know that there's some idea in this. They see it's not just a stira. They learn through the Torah, you see a stira. First the Jews go, then they change their mind. What is it? Oh, Sartre, Chazal have some idea there. Maybe they ought to go to somebody who knows how to learn, and maybe he can try to work out the idea, unravel the idea. So for the Chachamim, it was good, and it was good for the Hamon. That's why they wrote that way. That was the purpose of the style. And it had to be kept very carefully. You can't keep, you're going to write out ideas, you're going to have pages and pages. You can write one phrase can represent an idea. There's no need to do it. The Chacham understands. And the Ma'anam know that there's an answer there, that this was taken up, this point was taken up.
One to add is like this, that you see, that's why the Levium said Shira. Ashisha Levium Hayom the Vesa Migdash. So what did they say? They said Tillim. Why is Tillim a Shira, not anything else? The answer is because the definition of Shira is where the person lines his emotions up with reality. And that's only Sefer Tillim. That's the essence of Sefer Tillim. And that's really why Sefer Tillim concludes, that's the idea of music. The only music we have in the Migdash. Why do we have music in the Migdash? Because music is only good insofar as it gets the emotions in line with reality. And that's why the Nevi'im used the music in order to be Misnabe. Because in order for a person to be a Navi, he has to be a whole person. His emotions and his intellect all have to be lined up. So that's why the Nevi'im used to use music, in order to get into a state of perfected state that their emotions are in line with reality. And I just wanted to mention, by the way, the Or HaChaim also makes, I noticed the Or HaChaim makes the connection, where he says, Hashem Yilochem Lachem V'atem Tacharishim, he says that's connected Sar Shem Mitzrayim, because you saw the Sar Shem Mitzrayim, you're afraid, so that's why Hashem Yilochem Lachem V'atem Tacharishim. It's basically along the lines of what we're saying. But I want to make one point clear, that the Sar Shel Mitzrayim in Rashi, somebody might ask, because it says the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, so it mentions that they saw the Sar, no say min HaShemayim lazal Mitzrayim. I just wanted to mention, what does it mean, no say min HaShemayim? They flying min HaShemayim to help the Egyptians. What it means is min HaShemayim refers to the Marechas HaShemayim. Marechas HaShemayim means is the law of nature. The heavens always reflect the laws of nature. And Eev always talks about the Marechas HaShemayim. So, Noseim and Hashemayim means it's a natural force. It's a natural force. But the reason why it's depicted as a Sar is because it's a force, but it's a psychological force. Which means to say that the people, the Jews, raised the Mitzrim into a force because of the way that they look at the Egyptians. So they're raised into a power. It represents the concept of human power. Or the fantasy of human omnipotence. You see? That's the Sar Shel Mitzrayim. That's why they became frightened. Now, that's just the point with regard to the pshat. But I want to get back to the main idea. Essentially what we said so far is that what is the essence of Shira? What is the essence of Shira? The essence of Shira is to raise one's emotions, to direct them towards God, towards the source of reality. But I'd like to be a little more specific about that. What exactly does it mean? So, what emotions it refines to? So I want to say it like this, that there is one basic emotion in man. And the most basic emotion, the force that drives him probably more than anything else, perhaps, is the searching of man for security. Person searches for security. And that's very simple, because when a child is young, so he has the security of his parents. And then when he gets older, he realizes the security is not there. And the idea of death is a frightening idea to a child, and an adult as well. And people look for some source to replace the security that they had in their childhood days. And that's really why you have all the primitive Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The primitive Ovdei Avodah Zarah are looking for one thing. They're basically looking for security. And as a matter of fact, I read one of the scholarly works on the subject mentioned that they're basically they're looking for two things. They're looking for to be able to live in the physical world, like improve their crops. That's why they have all these rights. The Rambam talks about it in the Maran Avochim. And also they're looking for immortality. They're looking for immortality. Those two things. What are those two things really? Those two things are that which satisfy the emotional security of man. But Yadus, of course, demands that we don't give in to those kind of false securities. That's going back to try to project and continue an infantile life. But we recognize that this is false. But a person must ultimately take that emotion and that need for security and find the satisfaction in God. That's really what Yadus demands. And that's actually what the Sefer Tehillim is. That's what the Sefer Tehillim. What is the Sefer Tehillim? When you look through all of Psukim and Tehillim. Well, most of, practically all of Tehillim is one thing. Security. B'tochen b'karash baruch hu. The ani v'ani v'chas techo v'tachti. Yogel libi b'shu asecho. Ki ovi v'imi azavuni v'rashem ayas v'ini. Al tiftechu v'vim ben odom she'in lo s'shua. You see? What's the essence of Ashrei? Paseach es yodecho masbi alecho chayratam. Is recognition that God supplies the source of all or everything that a person needs in order to survive. The whole Sefer of Tehillim is that one concept. That's the essence of the Sefer. To take a person has a need for security, take that emotion and direct it towards reality, towards the source of reality, which is God. That's the essence of the Sefer. And that is the essence of Shira. That is the essence of Shira. Shira is, when a person says Shira, that Shira means that he's directing the emotion. And he ozi v'zimras ka v'yehili v'shua. That's the Shira Hashem ki go'o go'o. Geyos delay. He's the only one. And ozi v'zimras ka v'yehili v'shua. Means to say that I take all my emotions and my need for security, all my fears, everything that makes me unstable, that makes me fearful in life, and I direct all my I direct my emotions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I recognize that he is the security, he's the source of reality, and then I feel secure. That's Shira. That's the concept of Shira. Yes. Very good. Very good. That's why Tehillim said Beis Tzara. That's right. Exactly. Right. That's why Tehillim said Beis Tzara. That's why Jews always say Tehillim Beis Tzara. And that's why there's a kiyum even not in learning Tehillim, like I mentioned last week. It's a kiyum in just saying Tehillim. In just saying Tehillim is a kiyum. Even though there wouldn't be a kiyum in just saying Kehelas. Other than the fact that, of course, it's a mitzvah. Teresh B'Ksav is always a mitzvah in Dibur. But I mean to say, aside from that, but in Tehillim there's another kiyum. In Tehillim there's a kiyum of saying Tehillim, because in Tehillim a person recognizes that his betachin is b'kadosh baruch hu. And of course there are two avodah zarahs actually. One avodah zarah is the primitive avodah zarah, and which means that a person finds a security in a projection of a fantasy, a primitive fantasy, which is constructed precisely to replace something from his early childhood. That's the primitive Avodah Zarah, really. But there's a modern-day source of Avodah Zarah. The modern-day source of Avodah Zarah is man. That a person finds a security from people. From people. People are a big source of security. And the modern-day Avodah Zarah is the one that looks for security from man, from society, from recognition, you see, makes a person feel secure. What is the need for recognition? People will spend their whole lives for a few moments of recognition. Why? Because that makes a person, that gives a person a source of security. And Yadda speaks out against both. That's al tiftechu v'ndivim b'ven adam. She'ein lo s'shua. Those people that you're looking for security from, they simply die. Even a melech basadam, my own kind of macha bekever, and that's it. Ein lo s'shua, he's gone. So it's not, there's no reality there. You see. So, why is the Torah so much against Avodah Zarah?
that's the whole essence of the Torah. Where do you find today a modern reformed individual, a modern conservative Jew? He's not in danger of a Vodazar. Where's his expression of Vodazar? The answer is very simple. His expression of Vodazar is insofar as man. That's his Vodazar. Where does he find the source of security? He finds the source of security in his family, his friends, society that recognizes him. That's a Vodazar. That's why man is really the competitor, so to speak, competitor for giving a person his sense of security. That's why the worst issue a person can do is to go to his friend's house before davening. Why? Because it means to say davening is supposed to be that a person puts his faith in God. He goes to his friend's house, it means that he's more concerned. He wakes up in the morning, first concerned about what is he. I had something, I spoke to him last night. Maybe if I go there, maybe I'll find favor in his eyes. He's looking for security from Adam. That's why it says, that's what the Pasuk says. What's the Chidlo lechem min Adam, ki bameh nechshevu, al tikri bameh labama. The nature of man is that he looks for security. He looks for security from other people. That's the modern Avodah Zarah. But the Torah mentions both. A person gains security from Hashem means that he gains security from the fact that he knows that he's living a life of reality. And he's in line with the source of all reality. And that is the greatest and the only security that a person can have. And it's an ultimate security because it's a security based upon reality. See, that is the security. And with that security, no matter what happens, you see, he remains secure. That's why you see Chazal were never shaken, no matter what happens. We mentioned the story of Yossi ben Yoezer. I mean, he's going out to die, and his philosophy doesn't change at all. And the world was so impressed with the death of Socrates that one Socrates in centuries and centuries, the world was so impressed with his death because he was able to be rational at the time of his death. In Yadus, we had many Dolei Yisrael, too many really, because unfortunately it was because of the oppression. But who went to their death in much worse situations than Socrates, and retained to the very last moment their total contact with reality and with their ideas. But that is because they reached the level of ultimate security. Ultimate security can't be shaken. So that is the nature of the Sefer Tehillim. And that's why Sefer Tehillim is really the Sefer of Shira. Now, it's an interesting thing. The Sefer of Shira, you see, that's where the only place we have musical instruments play a role. And that's why every Perek in Tehillim, just about every Perek in Tehillim, starts off with Lam Natzeach. Lam Natzeach. What does Lam Natzeach mean? Lam Natzeach al Agitis, Lam Natzeach al Hashminis, Lam Natzeach al Anaginos. And what is it? These are musical instruments. If you look at Rashi, Rashi always explains it. And practically, starts off with Mizmor LaDavid. Or Shira LaShem. Practically every Kepitl in Tehillim starts off that way. Lam Natzeach al Anachilos. Okay? What is it? It's a certain type of instrument. So what? Rashi, for instance, in Tehillim Dalet, Lam Natzeach ben Aginos. What does it mean, Lam Natzeach ben Aginos? Lam Minatzeach, to the conductor, the one who conducts the instrument. Lam Natzeach ben Aginos. Mizmor ze yaseh David she'amru b'nei Levi ha-menatzchim ben Aginos b'shir al ha-duchan. So he says that the David HaMelech composed this piece of Tehillim in order that they should say it on the duchan, the Levium. Lashon Nitzuach Nofo b'mischaskim b'avoda ki nishnema yam do Levim b'n Esim Shana b'mala l'natzeach ha-meleches b'is Hashem. So the Levim used to say, all these things, l'natzeach ha-nechilas. He says, Menachem Pasa b'kulon, Rashi says in Hay, Nechilos v'alamos v'gisos yedusun kulom shemos klei zemerheim. Alright? So all these things are basically musical instruments. Every Kepitl in Tehillim starts off with a musical instrument. Oh, just about. Almost. Almost. But sometimes they don't, because it's a continuation from the past, and sometimes it's understood. L'David Mizmor. Or L'David. L'David means L'David Mizmor. But Mizmor also. Mizmor is the same idea.
What does it mean?
It means to say that we recognize the value. That's one place where Yadis recognizes the value of music. The value of music to bring a person's emotions in line with the reality of recognition that his source of security should be God. You see? And that's why, and that's the shir. And that's why, what's the last capital in Tillim? The last capital in Tillim is Haluko, Halukel, Bakacho, Halu, Bakizo, Halu, Batsilkle, Shoma, Halu, Batsilkle, Srua, all the instruments. Halu, Beneva, Lachino, Halu, Batsilkle, Mocho, all the Kolon, Shomas, Haluko, Haluko. So the essence of the Sefer is really Shira. That's why the Levim always said Shira from Tehillim, they said Shira. Because Tehillim, that's the major. And why is it in the Mikdash? That's where we recognize music. We have a very limited appreciation for music. Music is on. Lam Natseach means who, where? Where should the conductor be using his musical instrument? For these ideas. For these psukim. That's where music should play a role. That's why the Rambam mentions also. The Rambam mentions that music, the Rambam is never in favor of music per se, but the Rambam mentions that to sing a song with good or true ideas, the Rambam mentions that's a good thing. He mentions it in Pirkei Avos. The song should have true ideas. So that's where Yadda says, that's where the conductor of the orchestra comes in. The conductor of the orchestra comes in with these ideas. That's the purpose of Tehillim. Yes. Good. Of course, in Tehillim is the recognition of God as the creator. But that's all part of the Kiyum and the Gavra of Bitachon Hashem. See, there's a Kiyum in Tehillim. All the ideas in Tehillim, of course. Baruchi Nafshias and Hashem, all the Tehillim that speak about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to have the Kiyum and the Gavra, to recognize the Borei Olam, to recognize the reality of the Borei Olam, That's why when a person, like Mendy mentioned before, when a person is in an Eis Sora, he should learn Tehillim. He should learn Tehillim. Because Tehillim is really the medicine of the soul. Tehillim is the medicine of the soul. That's why Chazal say that David HaMelech had in Tehillim is included everything. Everybody can find something in Tehillim, no matter what his personal situation. There's something there that can relate to the Gavra, to give him that Kiyum. That's the Sefer of Tehillim. Sefer of Tehillim means the Sefer that takes in the gamut of human emotion, and directs it to the idea of Bitachon Hashem. Recognition of the Creator and realizing that is the source of his true security. That's the idea that no matter where, no matter what the situation, that a person who has the idea of the true security will never lose it. Okay, because it's based upon reality and there's nothing that can shake him. But that's why also, where did the Shia take place? In the Beis HaMikdash. Why in the Beis HaMikdash? Because what is the Mikdash really? The Mikdash is Avoda. And we defined Avoda. What is the definition of Avoda? Definition of Avoda is where a person takes the primitive emotions and raises them to a higher level. That's the definition of Avoda. So there in the Mikdash, that's the place where you should have the Levim al Adukhan that say Shira. They say the Shir with the music to the true ideas. To direct the person's emotions. If a person comes to the Mikdash, he should be in a situation where his emotions are directed towards the idea of God, the idea of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Excuse me? That's why we say Tehillim, for Achola, because before we... What does the Tehillim do? Why do you say Tehillim for Achola? The person will be Mispalel for Achola. What do you say Tehillim for? The answer is, before you Mispalel, you have to recognize the idea that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is the source of a person's salvation. If he doesn't have that idea, if he doesn't understand that idea, so what is the tefillah? The tefillah doesn't mean anything. See? That's the Hagdama to tefillah. And that's why you have the... that's why the Sefer Tehillim is Hagdama to the Birchas Kriyashma. And Danny Myers mentions in Gaul... He's right. In Gaul Yisrael, the idea of Smichas Gul Letfillah. What is the idea of Smichas Gul Letfillah? The idea of Smichas Gula Tefillah, Ezra Savasena Tol Me'olam, Brachat Hashem Go'al Yisrael. It means a recognition that God is the one, the Redeemer of Tal Yisrael. Then he can be Yomei B'Tefillah.
So really, Yetzias Mitzrayim, as far as Yetzias Mitzrayim as a kiyum, what's the kiyum as far as Yetzias Mitzrayim really? To recognize Azaz HaLashem Tel Me'olam. That's the recognition that God is the source of a person's total security. Baruch Tod Hashem, Gal Yisrael. Once he recognizes that, then he can be able to be tefillah. Then his emotions are in the proper state for tefillah. He doesn't have that introduction, it's not in the proper state. And that's why Chazal added, from Ezra's Hasinu was the brachos, that part of Krishna. Chazal added an introduction that you should say tefillah also every day. And they made the brach shom on the Yishtabach. Okay? It's also Nusach HaTfilah. That's why Nusach. In Nusach Nusach HaTfilah. What's the idea of Nusach? There's also a tune. Tunes for Nusach. Why do you have tunes for Nusach? And it's a Kabbalah. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to change it. Brought down. You're not allowed to change. You're not allowed to mishana from the Nusach. If a person wants to daven without Nusach, he's going against Halacha. Because you're mechuyev to follow the Nusach and the tunes, and also the tunes should be the tunes of the tunes that are existent in that Tehillah for years. Not supposed to change the Nusach. Why? Because the purpose of the tune is to bring man. That's the concept of music. That's the concept of music in Yadus, is to bring man in line with the ideas. So when he hears the Nusach HaTfilah, and the Nusach HaTfilah has a certain musical appeal, and the ideas, the true ideas are mentioned, it attracts him to the true ideas. That's the idea of Nusach. That's why not allowed to change it. That's why not allowed to make new tunes, because people are used to the old tunes, and there's a certain thing that they like. They like to hear that which they know. A new tune, it's not going to be able to relate to the ideas in the tune together. It's a new thing. This way the two are related inherently. Okay. That's right. That's excellent. Well, Yoni Sack saying is right. That the Isser of Zimra, the Isser of having music, after Chorban Abayas, you're not allowed to have music anymore. You see? Except for mitzvah, except for by a chasna. But otherwise, there's a big problem of playing music at fairs and different things. Well, questions of Yisurim, Moshe's Tshuva, and he asked it all together. But anyways, what is the idea? That's correct. The idea is because music is justifiable in Mikdash. That's where it finds its fulfillment, its purpose. Or in a particular case, like a Navi. But otherwise, in a general case, it's only in Mikdash. And once you have the Chorban HaBayis, so there's an Isser of Zimra, because then you'd be attaching a value to Zimra per se, which we're not allowed to do. That there were two Minhagim, three Minhagim actually. One Minig was to say Az Yashir. Another Minig was to say Hazino. And another Minig was to say both. Okay? Another Minig was to say both. What's the pshat? You see? There are really only two shiras in the Torah. The shira says Yashir and the shira says Zin. That's all there is. By the way, the idea, the concept of Bikovdi Befara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shemal Miskadesh, that's why you have in the Megillah, that's why the names of the Bnei Haman are written like a shira. Because when the Bnei Haman were hung, that's considered a shira because it demonstrates the concept that when God does din with the Rishoyim, it's Shmona Skadish. What does it mean, Shmona Skadish? It means Rishoyim carry a powerful aura around them. People look at them as, when they're in power, as they project a fantasy of omnipotence onto them, you see? But when they fall, so then people attach their concept of power and omnipotence to God. That's why it's a shira. That's why it's written that way in the Megillah. The names are written like a shira. But in the Torah, we only have two shiras in the Torah. Our Torah, the Torah's Moshe, only has two shiras. One shira is Oz Yashir, and the other shira is Hazinu. Now, the truth of the matter is that Shiras Hazinu is a universal shira. Oz Yashir is a specific shira, Shiras Hayam. But Hazinu is a universal shira. And, of course, I mentioned to you, and the Ramban mentioned, that in shira, it's always written a flowery language. That's the only time we have literature, really. Flowery language. In general, our language is very brief and logical and succinct. It's not too beautiful. But in Shira, we allow a certain... In Piyut, by the way, in Piyut also. That was a big machlokas, by the way. Whether you could have Piyut and Tfila. Machlokas seemed that the Ibn Ezra didn't like the idea of Piyut and Tfila. But you see that the Paitanim, the ones that were born, halachically they won.
And we do say Peter. You say Peter every Shabbos too. So the idea of Peter apparently was to have poetic language. Where did they get the license? That's what Ibn Ezra really asked. He says, where do you see Tzila? Hamei Lars Adon Lebrachim, plain, simple language. Where do you see poetry? What right do you have to introduce the kind of poetry? But the answer is, where did they find their matir from? They found their matir from the Shira, the idea of Shira, and from the idea of affecting the emotions. So there's really two Shiras. The universal Shira of the Torah is Hazim. That is the Shira of the Torah. However, the particular Shira, the first Shira was Shira Sayyam. That was the first Shira. So that's why you have two Minhagim, really. You have two Minhagim. One minig was, by the way, the universal Shir Vazino. It's an interesting thing. There's a pasuk in the Torah that's very difficult to understand. I gave a shir in the area once. I still could not understand the pasuk. There's a mitzvah seimet araisa to write a sefer Torah. That every person should write his own sefer Torah. Okay? It's a mitzvah seimet araisa. Now the pasuk, how does the pasuk express it? Very unusual way. It says va'ato kislu lochem es hashira hazos v'lamdo es bnei Yisrael sima b'fiyem. That's the pasuk. Okay, it's a pasuk in Vayelech. Now, the question is, it doesn't say to write the Torah. It says kisvu solachem sashira zos, write the shira. It doesn't say to write the Torah. So of course, Rabbanim always darshan. They always say, yeah, shira means a beautiful thing, and the Torah is very beautiful. But once you start, you know what I mean, saying that, you can say anything. Mathematical formula is also beautiful, but it's not shira. Well, because the problem is, you have to know what the definition of shira is. Shira means that which moves a person's emotions towards recognition of his ultimate security in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the definition of Shira. So the Rambam explains, V'ata kisvu lochem es ha-shira, so it says, kloma, kisvu lochem es ha-torah she-yesh ba-shira, she-yefshe lichtov. He says, because it's impossible. It must mean write the whole Torah that has Shira. Why? Because you can't say she-yefshe lichtov parsha shel Torah. Dovad. We know there's a halacha, you're not allowed to write a parsha of the Torah by itself. You can only write the whole Torah. So therefore, when it says Vata kisvu lochem es ha-shira zos, it can't mean the Shira. It means kloma, Torah sheyesh bo shira. But the question is, what kind of an expression is this Torah sheyesh bo shira? Torah couldn't write Vata kisvu lochem es ha-torah zos. More is after kisvu lochem es ha-shira zos. What's the answer? The answer is, because really, in the mitzvahs ksiva sefer Torah, there is a kiyum of recognition that a person recognizes that this is, like the Rambam says, that this is an edus l'chol borei olam, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the borei olam, and that that's where man's security should be, and that's the one that man should relate to. You see, so really, the kisvu lochem es ha-torah sheyesh bo shira. It means the Torah that has the idea of Shira, that teaches man to attach his emotions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Borei Olam. That's the Pshat in the Pasuk. Kisvu lochem es ha-shira. So really the whole Torah is a kiyum in Shira, actually. The whole Torah. Even when a person learns Torah, and Chachmas HaTorah. But there's a result of Chachmas HaTorah. The result of Chachmas HaTorah is, of course, the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Avas Hashem. It's an experience of Avas Hashem. Shira is a particular method. But the idea, the particular method, you don't always apply the particular method. Essentially, we involve ourselves in Talmud Torah, in thought and ideas, and Chachma. And in Chachma, we're involved in Avas Hashem. That's the Chachma. But there are different times when you need Shira to work directly with the emotions. And that's why the Pasuk says, V'ata kisvu lochem es ha-shira hazos. Torah sheyesh ba shira. The Torah and Shira are related, really. They're related in bringing about one result, the result of Avas Hashem and Veikas Bakarish Baruch Hu. Okay? So that's why you had like this. So that's why you had the three minhagim. One minig was to say the Shira, the first Shira in the Torah, the prototype of Shira. The prototype of Shira is Az Yashar. That's why they had one minig to say Az Yashar. The other minig was to say Hazina. Why? Because that's really the universal Shira. That Hazina is the universal Shira about God, and it is the Shira which the Torah mentions, V'ato kisvu lochem es ha-shira zos. Why? Because that's the universal Shira. So the universal Shira in the Torah is Hazinu. The prototype in the specific Shira is Shira Sayyam, is Az Yashar. So one minig was to do the prototype, Az Yashar, because that's the prototype for Shira, and we're saying Tilim. The other minig was to use the to mention the universal shira of the Torah, which is shira sazino. And the third minig was to say both. Say both. In other words, the original prototype, the shira sayom, then the universal. Okay. So Tom Paulo called Rachel Mishpat. Kelamun of Ein Ovel, Sadevi Yashahu, Shiches Lo, Banat Mumam. The whole Hazinu is all universal Shirat HaKadosh Baruch. Universal Shirat HaKadosh Baruch. That's the essence of Hazinu. Should have mentioned it before. But Danny Meyer showed me this pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Lamed. It says, he mentioned that David was the one that was entitled to write Tehillim, nobody else, because he really was the one that mastered that emotion. That's why he was the one that wrote it. So, Danny Meyer showed me this pasuk, it's a nice pasuk. Vatetzel David Ma'od, it's pasuk Vav. Lamed Shmoav, Lamed Vav. Vatetzel David Ma'od, when he was, Ki Amram Lasaklo, Ki Mora Nefesh Kolom, Isha Banavav Benosva. The devil was in a state of, a very serious state of danger, and he was depressed. So the pasuk says one thing. Vayeschazeg David Bar Hashem Elokov. That's the pasuk. Vayeschazeg David Bar Hashem Elokov. Interesting expression. As an enemy, emotionally was down. By his chazek David, he strengthened himself. But Hashem alakav, that's it. That's what I mean. That is the concept. That's the definition, really, that we mentioned. That's a definition of Tehillim. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't write Tehillim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu is different. Moshe Rabbeinu is simply a man that's in a total state of knowledge at all times. He's kemalach alakim. A different level, different thing. David HaMelech is considered Mashiach Hashem because he's Mashiach Hashem because he's a normal individual. His personality, nobody, but he directs all the forces of his personality towards the true ideas. That's the difference with David HaMelech. Moshe Rabbeinu is above all the emotions. He's simply constantly involved. Pel pel dababa marvel over chidos. He is constantly smurat Hashem yavid. He's constantly involved in the ideas above all emotions. David HaMelech was a person that wasn't on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he had emotions like every person, but he was able to take those emotions and direct them to the proper source. That's the concept. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Chazal indicates what Rabbi Meir is mentioning is that Vatomar Hashem Lekach Hashem. So Chazal say, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu said to the people, what does God want from you? The only Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim, the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu really, really couldn't understand the difficulty because he was in a different world. He was in a different world. Really couldn't understand it. He misjudged the people because he couldn't perceive the level of human emotions. He couldn't perceive because he was constantly in the world of ideas. But David HaMelech was a man who was in the world in general, but he was able to maintain his emotions in reality. Emotions, direct the emotions to reality. That's David HaMelech. Creation wanted to stone him. So it means, what does it mean when it says Ki Amram Almas Saklo? It means to say that there's the hardest thing for a person to take, emotionally, the hardest, the most difficult thing for a person to take is condemnation. Condemnation is a very difficult thing. The person is condemned by his family, by his relatives, by society, the most difficult thing to take. Why did a person like Donald Manus, why did he kill himself, stab himself with a knife, try to commit suicide? What drove him? So the condemnation killed the man. I mean, because the man is has to have the recognition. That's what a politician, basically, more than anybody else. A politician, more than anybody else, is looking for the approval of man. That's what he did with David HaMelech. It means that he was condemned by the people. And there's nothing worse that a person can face than condemnation. Condemnation by the people. The most difficult thing for a person to face. He can't lift himself up. He can't face people. Because the person has a bad name. The person can't face people. See, people go crazy for something like that. because it's...